Well, a couple of weeks ago, we were in the book of Philippi. Philippians. We took a break last Sunday to talk about Thanksgiving issues, and we looked at verses 12 through 16 of that third chapter in this letter. As you know, this was sent as a letter to the church. It wasn't divided in chapters. It wasn't divided in verses. That was later done. But thank the Lord that we had scholars to do so, because it helps us to kind of piece together the verses and the places that we want to study and want to know about. And so verses 12 through 16 kind of reminded us, as though we needed that reminder, kind of reminded us of areas in our life that we needed to improve on, that God needed to somehow focus on and grow us in. So we looked at those verses here. And in this great letter that Paul sent to this church in Philippi, he continues his thoughts on his pursuit of a goal, of a prize, of his decision to become more like Christ. And we want to focus our thoughts on that, how we can become more like Jesus. How is it that you can sum up that you need, or you have a distance to go to be like Christ? Well, there's some things you measure that by. We measure that by, first of all, the greatest, if as it were, a comparable person we can ever think about, and that's Christ himself. Why? Because Christ himself was perfect. No sin, no blemish on Christ. And how do we know that? Is that we know his word. We read his word that tells us and describes us about Christ. But also, if I may give you a very earthly way to determine that, we realize that we have a ways to grow because we know other believers who have grown in those areas, and they have been where we're hoping to go. They're whom we call the mature Christians, not by chronological age, but by their investment in the kingdom and God's investment in their life. They're the mature believers, and we say, I like the way that person responded to that situation. Something about him is different. I need to go there and be like that. Paul talks something about these things. We can find a lot of theories about the walk, you know, the walk in Christ, and how we ought to live and things we ought to say and do, and how we should respond to people for sure. We need people like Paul, because Paul was one of those who's been there, done that. He's experienced the good, bad, and the ugly of life. And he was constantly in pursuit of what? Being like Jesus. He was constantly in pursuit of being like the Lord. And he shows us the value of pursuing that Christ likeness, so that somebody someday may say about you, when they see you and hear you, say, you know, you sound like Christ, or you look like Christ, or there's something about you that reminds me of Jesus. Much like you do with your parents. You know, someone who knew your mom or dad, and then they see you and they, are you John's girl? Are you Bob's son? Because you were like them. There was some characteristic you had about you. Maybe you laughed like them, or you smiled like them, or your eyes twinkled like, who knows? But there was something about your parents you reminded them of. So it is that Paul wants to pursue Christ-likeness so that people can see him in our lives. Jesus made this statement. It was a bold statement, but he didn't make it just once, but numerous times. Jesus said to those disciples as he found them and he began working with them and calling them, he said two important words: follow me. Follow me. That was all-inclusive. He wasn't just saying, you know, throw down your nets and walk behind me so you don't step into a hole somewhere. No. He was saying, follow me in everything I do. Imitate what I do. Think like I think. Have the same kind of passions that I have. And listen, the pursuit that we ought to have today hasn't changed from that call that Jesus made to the disciples. Because, and it can't be improved on. If we simply follow Christ, are we not following the right example for our lives? Most certainly we are. Help me here. We realize that there's no other person that we can look at that is a better example of godliness than Christ himself. But we also realize that we live among men and women who are believers. And so we
sometimes long for, desire for, and need a skin face. We just need a person that we can look at and see and touch and feel and recognize they're walking with Christ. And we want that example. Romans chapter 8 says that God's purpose for us is to mold us into the image of His Son. His desire is that we would be molded into an image of His Son. It was the purpose all the way to the cross that He conform us into the image of who He is. So that would be my necessary reminder in my life, is that I want to be as much like Christ as I can be, so that I don't let down the Father's intent for my life. We go back to verse number 12, and we see Paul's general theme, if you will, because Paul said in verse 12, not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. His theme is, of course, the general theme. He says, I want to be like Him. I've not reached it yet. I'm still moving toward it. I want to be as much as I can be like Christ. And I'm pressing on. I'm not perfect. But yet Paul, in his imperfection, encourages us to follow Him on His journey to be like Christ. And he emphasizes this a couple of times, that I'm not there yet. I'm not perfect. I'm still moving. Why would he do that so many times? Well, because he had the thoughts of these Judaizers to battle against. The Judaizers that were saying that you didn't need just Christ, but you needed Christ plus something else added for your salvation. And Paul was saying, we're working on this thing. We're trying to move toward perfection. But Paul knew, like we all need to recognize, that perfection only comes when you enter the portals of glory and you reach heaven. That's when you will be made perfect. Won't that be a glorious day? Man, no more bad thoughts, no more anger, no more flying off the handle, no more physical pain, no more anything that's negative. Right. All will be perfect. And that's based on God's plan and God's promise for us. So it boils down to one thing, pressing toward this goal. And by the way, what our goal is here is our prize up there. Let me say that again so you can grab that. What our goal is here is what our prize will be up there. Our goal, says Paul, is to move toward perfection. All of us live our lives should desire to be like Jesus. Oh, to be like Him. Oh, to be like Him. Now, we may argue that there are a lot more things to do down here, aren't they? Come on, Pastor. I mean, you know, aren't we supposed to be evangelizing, you know? I mean, aren't we supposed to be helping others with food and benevolent care? And aren't we supposed to be learning how to be a good husband and be a good father and mother? Guess what? Doing all those things is what you do to allow you to be like Christ. You see, so doing evangelism and doing benevolent care and loving others is doing those things so that you may be the expressed image of who Jesus is. Now, our verses this morning are verses 17 to 21. And I've titled the message, Shadowing the Godly. Because we sometimes need to find the shadow of somebody who's doing this thing right and get under their shadow and learn from them. So let's just take our Bibles and turn to that third chapter, if you will, of Philippians. And look at verse 17, and we're going to read through 21. We're going to camp around only one verse this morning, verse 17. But I want to encompass all four of these. So let's stand together if we can. Verse 17 says, if you can stand, please do. Paul says, join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven,
from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject everything to Himself. God richly bless the reading of His Word. And you're here and you can be seated. Hang on to that. Specifically, let's focus on verse 17, where Paul says, join in imitating me, brothers and sisters, and pay careful attention to those who live according to the example you have in us. Shadowing the godly. Being under the shadow of a godly example is what we long for. I think when we get to know Christ better, we really get to know ourselves better. Because we're able to see ourselves in light of who He is, in Christ's perfection. Unfortunately, His perfection shows our imperfection. Fortunately, that lets us know that we need to grow more like Him. Where our faults are, Paul knows his well. You can see how Paul was consumed by knowing Christ. As a matter of fact, if you go over verse 13, I love Paul's words here. And verse 13 says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. I love that. Paul focuses on this one thing. I recognize if I'm going to be the image of Christ, this one thing I do. We have become a church of many distractions from that one thing. No, I'm not talking about Jackson Ridge Baptist Church. I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. We become distracted by many things. Paul brings us down and hones us and says, look here, there's one thing we need to be doing in all of our activity, is to become like Jesus. That's my goal, he says. That is my prize, but that is my goal. And looking back in verse 7, Paul recognized a lot of those distractions. Remember how he gave all of his this litmus test of all things he had achieved in life? Look here what he says in verse 7. But everything that was a gain to me, I have considered to be a loss because of Christ. All the things I've done, all the major achievements I have in my life. Hebrew of Hebrews. Remember all those things that he said he was good at and he had done? Yeah. A Pharisee of Pharisees, etc., etc. Ad nauseam. And Paul says, I count all that stuff as garbage. That's nothing comparable to what I want to be in Christ. So perhaps maybe the theme that we need in 2020 for Jackson Ridge would be this: to know Him and to make Him known. Perhaps that might be our theme for a church. To know Him and to make Him known. No, we're not going to change the sign out on the pavilion. It'll still say Jesus is Lord. But that may be a moving theme that we need as a church as we go forward. You have at times perhaps asked yourselves, why do I even go to church? Why do I even go to Sunday school? Why do I even give of my money? Why do I even take time to pray? Why? Well, here's the very reason Paul gives us for all of those things. To be like Him. To be like Him. We do those things. There's so much in these verses, but I want us just to look at verse 17. And so that we can perhaps find a good example of a worthy imitation. Someone that we might be able to, or someone who's worthy of us imitating in their walk and in their life. You're thinking about someone perhaps now. Maybe it was a relative, a grandmother, grandfather, father, mother, brother, sister, someone you went to college with, someone you knew in school, a close friend, that you said, if I could just be like them, if my mindset could just be like them, I would have this thing licked. Paul says, find an example of a person who walks with God and be like them. So note that Paul makes an issue of following others to be like Christ. Now Paul says again, in verses 12 to 16, he talks of his imperfection. And he doesn't say, guys, don't follow me. I blow it all the time. I'm messing up left and don't follow me. No, Paul, he didn't say that. Paul says, I'm headed in the right direction. because I'm headed in the right direction. Follow me. Oops, there I stumbled. That's all right. I'll get back up. Follow me. I'm headed in the right direction. The reason I stumbled there, Paul says, because I'm not perfect. Yeah, I still sin. I'm not perfect. As a matter of fact, he said in 1 Timothy 1:15, I am foremost of sinners. He didn't say I was. It is as I used to be a sinner. Paul says, I am. What? Well, I thought we'd stop this old sin and mess once we became Christians. Thought we got rid of all that old bad stuff. No, nope. We're going through that because we're trying to be the image of Christ and we're moving toward the goal of being like Him. But although Paul says, I'm not perfect, I am working on it, so follow me. The reason I can follow Paul, I think, is because Paul's been there. He's been there and he's done that. He knows the ropes, as it were. I like John MacArthur's illustration I read one time of a man who was going to climb a big mountain. And there was a guy at the very top of the mountain who'd already been there. He got there by way of a helicopter that flew to the mountain and dropped him off. And the guy says, come on up! The weather's great, man. The wind is wonderful. The scenery is incredible. Come on up. And so John's thinking, here I am trying to climb this mountain, and that guy's already there. He has no clue what I'm going to be facing, nor do I know to trust him to come on up. So John says, you know what I'd rather have? I'd rather have a guy above me with a rope who's already gone ahead of me with a rope, that I can hold the rope, as it were, and he can tell me, watch your footing down here. Be careful there, because he's been there. That's what Paul is saying. Paul says, you can follow me because I know the steps you're about to take. I'll be an example to you. We need to look for an example worthy of imitation for sure and be in the shadow of a godly person. Paul says in verse 17, look at me because I'm moving in the right directions. Paul is a model for us to follow in so many areas of our life. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says this, you became imitators of us, and it's Christ we imitate. How can it go wrong? Paul's imitating Christ, and so Paul says to the members in Philippi, he says, follow my lead, because I'm walking with Christ. I think in 17, when he says, those of us, it was kind of a way to diffuse Paul's humble spirit. He says here, join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. I think Paul could have said, and when he says, observe me who lives according to the example you have in me. But he says those and us. Hey, maybe he's talking about Timothy. Could have been talking about Epaphroditus for all we know. I don't know. We don't know. We don't have a book written by either one of those, so we don't know really, you know, about that. We can assume they had a good walk with the Lord. But Paul was trying to say, he says, you can follow others. You don't just have to follow me. You can follow others who are following in the steps of Christ to be more like him. He was just trying to say, I'm following in his footsteps. And there are others who are as well. Find somebody. I wouldn't mind shadowing Paul at all. I wouldn't mind being right behind him, catch his tailwind, and as he goes, say, Paul, where you go, I want to go, man. Because I know you're going to go where Christ leads you. And that's where I want to be. Well, we don't have the writings of these other two, so we don't know where they went, how they lived necessarily, so much other than from Paul. But we do have pastors. We do have teachers. We do have mature elders who we look up to as mature believers. We do have those folks. We do have deacons. We're about to elect a couple too at the end of the service. That'll give us a body of three. We do have those men whom we ought to be able to follow as godly examples. They ought to be. We ought to be, if we have any sort of responsibility, be a godly example of someone who's looking at us and following us. And we know that they have not, I have not, you have not achieved perfection. Lord, no.
We're still working on that. Come on. We're all working on perfection, knowing that we will not reach it until we reach Him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
But that's not a license for us to go ahead and sin. Well, a pastor knows I'm not perfect, so I'll just show him how imperfect I really am. No, we don't do that. Because our goal is, as Paul's goal, is to be more like Him. We need to seek out men and women who are living an exemplary life, a life pure and holy, stumbling along the way, but their attempt is to become like Christ. Because after all, when we find those people, they're giving us a pathway to perfection. They're giving us a pathway to be like Him, for sure. Yesterday, Elaine and I had the privilege of going with David and Monica to the Nashville Singers concert there in Nashville. And I had the joy of singing with those guys for about 4 years, so I know something of what they do and how it took to put together what they put together. A tremendous concert. But Sloan Yarbrough, who's the conductor of the group, I can recall vividly standing there as he was directing the group and all the polishing and all the stuff that he had to do and everything he went through. And every time he'd stop, I said, "Nope, that's not right. Let's do that." You know what? I listened to him. You know why I listened to him? Because he's been there, done that. He knows what he's talking about. Paul knows what he's talking about. We need to imitate and shadow those who know what they're talking about. They've been there. They've done that. They're leading examples for us in being believers in Christ. I feel a heavy responsibility as pastor of this church of having one of the ends of that rope for many who would look at my life and say, "Pastor, lead us to a closer walk with Christ. Help us to know what we can do for the Lord. How can we become more like His?" I feel a heavy responsibility, as any leader of this church ought to feel that kind of responsibility of being that one who someone else can imitate and model. Paul's not saying imitate my gifts. He's not saying imitate my calling. He's not saying be like me in those areas, but he's saying to imitate the way I'm willing to suffer for others. Here's Paul in prison, right? Chained to a guard. Imitate my willing to lay down my life for others. Imitate my devotion to Christ. Imitate the way I'm wanting to be like Him. Walk under my shadow and imitate my life. It would seem that time sometimes has diffused us as a church and we as believers of the demands that used to be ours for Christ-likeness. I mean, where do you find the Timothys today? Where do you find the Epaphroditus today? Where do you find the Spurgeons and the Moody's and the Grahams today? Where are the holy men and the truthful men? The men of virtue and meekness, those unselfish models of faith who could say rightfully, "Imitate my walk, and you're going to do fine." It's a simple trajectory is for us as believers, where we should be going this way. But somehow through the years, although Christ is our goal, and the Scriptures reveal to us who He is, but somehow we have lessened the demands of how to walk with Christ. And we've become so very, as it were, easy to say, "Oh, don't worry about it, do what you want to. Live how you want to, it's okay." And so because of that, we've become less models for others to follow. And that means, of course, there are less models for us to follow in Christ. So that leads you to say, maybe, "Well, Pastor, I'll be that one. I'll be that one that'll make a difference. I want to be that one that Paul talks about," where he says in that verse 17, he says, "Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those, are you one of those, who live according to the example you have in us?" Perhaps we need to say, "I'll make a difference." And I think until we make that decision, we remain sick and distorted as a body. We've lost our compass as believers today. And by the time we get ourselves together
and finally decide we've lost time. And people have gone out into eternal darkness because of our lack of commitment. Now that's how how God saw all of the world was a world of depravity. I mean, after all, he gave the Mosaic Law, and we tried to keep the Mosaic Law. That could not happen, because we couldn't. And so God finally says, well, I'll come down and take care of this bad problem myself. And so God came in the form of a child at Christmas. God incarnate became human, so that he might offer himself up on the cross of Calvary, so that our sins could be what? Washed away. So that he might become, start the process of molding us and creating us to be like him. And as a result, his salvation changed our lives and changed the lives of people like Paul the Apostle and Timothy and Epaphroditus and others that we see in the scriptures who are desiring to live for him and like him. And something Jesus could never do. Jesus could never show us how godliness deals with fallen, because Jesus was never fallen. And so we have to look at people like Paul and others who had fallen, who do stumble. And because of that, we recognize and watch them as they get up and go forward, pressing toward that goal. But the net effect of all of us is this disintegration, or this blurred goal that we have. We've forgotten who it is that we're supposed to be like and how we're supposed to live. Sadly, we've tolerated a lower standard of leadership than God had intended for us. And the Bible doesn't allow for it, but somehow we seem to. The simplicity of Christian living for us as a believer, beloved, I think is that we just simply live like Christ. Just live like Christ. And that covers all the bases. And we can go back to that WWJD, what would Jesus do in all those circumstances? The bottom line is that living like Jesus ends a lot of misery for us as believers. I encourage you, find someone whom you can imitate. What's their life? Find a godly example. Shadow that one person. Obviously, Paul's a great example. Jesus the best, of course. But sometimes we need a flesh face. So find that one. And better yet, be that one.